Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special broadcast on Culture Shock Entertainment Radio. I know you're used to hearing the voice of the architect, but this is not the Band of Brothers. You are listening to the Inner Circle today. And I just dropped by to add a little assist to the ladies of the Inner Circle because our moderator is under the weather today. So I'll be here to help with the play-by-play to make sure everything goes smoothly. Is that okay with you all?
Yes.
It's good with me. All right. Without further ado, I'll go ahead and let the lovely Sierra go ahead and introduce the cast, and I'll try my best to stay out of the way. Action.
Well, hello, radio. As he stated, we are here with the ladies of the Inner Circle. So I'm going to let these lovely ladies introduce themselves, starting with Miss Steph.
Hello, everybody. I am Stephanie Davey. I am a wife and a mother of two, a 6-year-old and a 15-year-old, and glad to be here.
Hi, I'm April Price-Alexander. I am a mother, a wife. I guess I had to follow Steph, so I got five children. And I'm glad to be here.
Hey, my name is Shantae, just Shantae. I'm a mom also, divorced. Not a wife right now. But I'm excited to be here.
All right, well, I am a wife, married to the architect, as everybody, I guess, we already know. And we have two children. I'll just follow suit. So today we're here. We got a couple topics we're going to discuss. I'll first just read them all off, and then we'll just go from there. Our first topic we're going to talk about is, why are black women the least respected group, but stats show that we are the most educated? So let's just hit with that one first. How about that?
Sounds good.
So stats show that we're the most educated overall, but yet we are the least respected group. What y'all ladies think about that? Do y'all agree, disagree?
I definitely agree. And I feel strongly about it. We do the most work. We're the leading people in a workforce. We make the less money. We make less money than anyone. I don't know. It's bothersome for me.
I would have to agree. I think that we as black women, we are very educated, and we do bring a lot to the table. I think a lot of it is stereotypical. They look at us, you know, most people look at us as angry black women. So we kind of get underrated when we're not that. So as Shantae said, I definitely feel like that's a huge, huge topic that we definitely need to talk on and kind of get some clarity on, because not all of us are that angry black woman. And we are very educated. Like I said, you know, we do bring a lot to the table.
Or even how, even with the angry black woman, like, that's so annoying to me.
It is.
Like, if you stand up for yourself and you can articulate it, right, the most professional, because we can articulate some stuff professionally and get to the point, but they still look at us as angry and aggressive.
That's true. And any other race seems to be able to speak their mind and say what they want to say, but you know, we always become that stereotypical group that, you know, we always are looked at in a negative light. And I think too, you know, a lot of media and different, you know, avenues of, you know, publicity always, you know, makes us kind of look kind of, you know, we as black women, some of us don't show what we have, you know, we don't value ourselves. So you do see a lot of that in the videos and all of that stuff. So, you know, it's hard to sit down and have a conversation with someone when they have a preconceived notion, right, of who you are. So,
well, I agree. But on the other hand, I think that we are the less respected is because the way we carry ourselves.
Exactly.
And I think that if we teach our daughters how to respect themselves, then when they get older, they will be more respected. But if you look at Facebook now,
right,
all you see is videos of females fighting.
Exactly.
In the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we are tend to be put all in the same boat, so it's hard to stand out and be different.
Right, it's like when the one bad apple.
Right, when the stereotype is like so huge, and sometimes it falls on us, the black women, because we don't go that extra step. Right. To better ourselves, because there's so many black women that can be very educated, has talent, but don't use it.
That's true.
They rather just stay on the system.
That's so true. That's
but they one. Look at, they'll tell us that most of us are on the system, but most of us really aren't on the system. Like it's more black women in college than anywhere right. else, and they just, it's just like you said, they're putting it out there in the media makes it look like, okay, this is how everyone is. But I think that too is like, in some instances, are we bringing it on ourselves, the people who have that media control, and just you're out there and this is all people see. If they don't know a black person, or if they're not, you don't engage with black people. So I don't know, it can be like a two-edged sword.
Yeah, it is. And it's definitely is. And I see it, and I tell my daughter all the time, look around in your family and see, and tell me what you see. Is it something you want to be, or is it something you do not want to be? Right. Even like I grew up in a hood, so therefore when I moved out of my mom's house, I moved to Euclid. So my kids, they think Euclid is the hood. Euclid is not the hood.
Nowhere near.
Right. Not, right.
So you, they don't know, like, they like, oh, 260 is so hood. No, no, no. Let me take you back to 79 where I came from.
Right.
That's the hood.
Right.
So therefore, you know, even like growing up in the hood, because you're in the hood, I mean, you're supposed to be a part of the hood.
Right.
And see, when we grew up, that's what my mom always instilled in us. Because you down here, do not be a part of your environment.
Right. That's right.
So if you don't have that mindset to better yourself, you're going to always have that mentality that you got to be hood. So it all depends on the individual. And so we are all put into this one bubble. But, you know, what do we do as black women to make sure we're not seen in those eyes? Because we got opportunities. Opportunities are stronger now than they were 15, 20 years ago.
That's true.
So what are we doing now?
I think a lot of it too has to do with community. You know, we as black women have to get with our young women and have those conversations and get more involved in the community. Show them, you know, that there is something else out there. You know, you don't have to be that, you know, per se, just that stereotypical, you know, woman. Just say, hey, you know, I think a lot of it is getting into the communities, having conversations. Like you said, starting at home,
right.
Talking to your daughters. I have a 6-year-old, and, you know, I let her know you can be anything you want to be. Just because, you know, you're a young black young lady, you know, you have to carry yourself a certain way. And I know I work in corporate America, and in the workforce is really prevalent. They look at us, you know, until they get to know who you are. You know, you're already, you walk into a room and you can see, like I said, I go into a room and it literally is maybe 10 black women out of 500 people. So, you know, you really have to stand out, and you really have to, you know, be able to articulate what you know. And I think a lot of us get, you know, intimidated. So sometimes you have to kind of stand out and step out on faith, and also tell, you know, let people know who you are and what you're about. Again, I think a lot of it is community work. You know, us getting in the community, showing some of these girls. I'm from the hood, too. I grew up in St. Clair, you know, right. So St. Clair area. So I definitely understand, you know, that particular dynamic. And I think that that's something that we as black women have to get together as a group. Because first and foremost, we don't get together enough. We're always,
we don't,
you know,
get together.
Exactly.
We're busy competing with each other over silly things.
Right. But. Exactly. We tear each other down. We don't bring each other up. And, you know, and sadly, you know, most races, they will help each other. And you will see that. It seems like with us, like you said, if you see it on social media, our news, everything is always about the negative side of us and what we do. And, you know, it's never the positives of what black women are doing out in the community. So I think we need to get more out there and show people that, you know, we are educated. And like you said, there are a lot of us that's going to college or has been to college. And, you know, I think I was looking at a stat before, and it was like 86% of black women are going to college. So, you know, how do we not come up with a positive showing if we're, you know, we're doing that. Again, I think it's a lot of upbringing is some of the wrong things that we're out here doing. And I think that that's something that we definitely need to get together as a group and try to, you know.
But I think in get together as a group, it's kind of like it still would be a fight, because even though and then everyone is, we can be working our hardest and sometimes it's still not good enough, because like you said, people get to know you. But soon as something happened, they just assume that you're going to go back to whatever stereotype that's in their head. And then if we don't fight, we have to fight a system to be able to get paid the same and for them to take us serious and listen to our ideas. You can say it. I've been in situations where I can say an idea, the other lady say it differently. And
they receive it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's the same thing that I said.
Exactly.
It's just frustrating.
Yeah. I've been in that boat as well. You know, it is frustrating. It's frustrating to, you know, come up with something that, you know, corporately could be positive. And like you said, somebody else say it and it's like, oh yeah, you know, it just came out the blue, you know? So I don't agree with that either, but it is, it's very frustrating. But again, I think that we have to like step up and just show people, you know, you have to get over that stereotype. You know, we can't be who people think we are. We have to be who we are and right. who we're meant to be. So.
Well, alrighty then.
So what do you think, Sierra?
I agree.
Oh.
With all the comments that were said, I do think it's frustrating to be Black, and especially with being around other women or other races rather in the workforce, and you know that you can, you know, do the same things that they do or whatever, but it's more of a, oh well, I don't think she can do it because of her color, or well, we don't want to put her on the forefront because she might flip out. But a lot of it, like y'all said, goes back to, you know, social media, because I mean, we have to be honest, that's what everybody's looking at. I mean, they've made, what is it, World Star Hip Hop is huge because of the fact that if you see somebody fighting, it's not, you know, call the police or try to help them or, you know, break it up. It's, oh, everybody got their phone out. And it was one clip or meme or whatever on Facebook, and it was like this person drowning in the water and he had his hands up and he's struggling. And you got three people standing on the sideline with their cell phone, because that's what it's about. So it's like, that's what's running what people see. They're pushing that more so than pushing the ones who are walking across the stage with their hat on, or walk across the stage with their hood, having their credentials, having, you know, letters behind their name. It's like, nobody's pushing that. You know, like when Stephanie, you said about the stats, you know, where do we see that at? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We're not going to see that on Facebook flooding or Instagram or Twitter. You know, it's all about all the negative things that's going on. What are, oh, let's see this Black girl go off at McDonald's because she didn't get her coffee, or, you know, that type of thing. So I think it is frustrating, very frustrating. And especially when you have kids and you're trying to raise them, because you're trying to instill in them one thing. And then when they go to school, or especially my kids at daycare, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I see them come home, and some of the stuff that my daughter says, like, yeah, where you get that from? No. You know, it's like a lot of kids these days are raising themselves. So they're raising themselves from what they see on TV, the video girls. Oh, I got to have this, you know, I got to have this name brand. My butt got to be big. I got to wear my clothes this tight, and I got to show off this because this is what's going to get me.
And don't forget the weed.
Wherever, exactly. This is what's going to get me there. You know what I'm saying? So it is very frustrating.
I think our value system has definitely dropped, because, like I said, although I was raised, like you said, in the hood, my parents were from the South. And, you know, the values were, they were serious. They were, we were taught values. And I think that that's something that's lacking right now in the communities. You know, there's no value. We as women don't value ourselves. We don't know our worth. And I think that's one of the biggest things that is a problem right now, because if you don't know your worth, you're gonna get the weave. You want to twerk and you're in the clubs. You're doing this to get attention. Exactly, anything to get attention. But you have to know who you are. And if you don't know who you are first, then, you know, of course, yeah, everything else is gonna come. And those are the things that are gonna suck you in. And that's what makes us that stereotypical group.
That's true. But then that, like, the values come from home.
Exactly.
And I'm I'm big on that. Because my thing is, I would not let the school or the streets teach my kids.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You, like you said about turking and clothes and all that. If you buy it, you let her wear it.
Exactly.
You bought it. Do she have a job?
Right, right.
You know, same thing. It's what the parents are allowing their children to do. And that was causing a lot of it. It's the parents has lost the value. So the child can't have value if the parents don't have it or instill it in them.
Right.
And also what Sierra has said about, I forgot, but I had a thought. I had it when she was talking. But I will say this, that not all the time, it's not the other race that set us back.
It's us.
It's our race. Because I've been in a situation where I was promoted to the only black on the administrative staff. My flap didn't come from the other race. It came from my peers.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, my thing is this. You don't sign my check, I care less. I do my time and I go home. But it was amazing how that it was us.
Right.
We do not like to see our sister or our brother get promoted, move on, go to college, finish college.
That's true.
And sometimes the other race will be the one that push you right on through.
Mm-hmm,
they be the one that push you.
Those are the ones that will
help
you.
But I'm going to say that's the ones that usually have your back more than your own. And it's like a lot of times we feel like we... And when I say we, I'm not speaking of us in this particular room or nothing like that, but we feel like, oh, well, I don't want to leave them behind. And a lot of times it's like you try to pull them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said not us in this room, but
pull you back down.
Because it's like, hey, it is what it is.
Right,
right. But it's like, no, because the same opportunities that's presented to me, the same opportunities that was presented to you, either you take advantage of it or you don't. But then don't be mad at me when I do. And that goes back, like April was saying, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Shantae, when you said a lot of times it's we don't help each other. It's like the moment we cool as long as we on the bottom together.
Yeah.
But the moment you start going up, it's like, well, wait a minute, what about me? Oh, she a sellout. Oh, she's
she
this.
She thinks she all that.
Yeah, and it's like,
oh, you know what I really hate?
What?
She acting white.
Oh, and you cannot talk with proper English.
Oh, yeah. You be like, I went to school. They taught me English. I held on to it.
No, you're not supposed to do that. You have to use, you know, the hood language. It's like, no, but see, that's why you can't get in that door that's open. Because, and it's not about, you know, like that, you know, talking white or acting white. No, I'm acting the way I'm supposed to act. How about you join in? And be civilized, you know, and that's why we're looked at as, you know, wild animals, you know, we're untamed. And then, like we always discussing about, you know, the family and it being, you know, coming from home, it's like it's hard to look at it that way. I mean, you know, because you see the product of what's raising the next generation, it really bothers me. Because when you see the ones that are raising, it's like April said, when you're buying the clothes, it's cute when they little. Buy their little bikini and putting them on makeup and weaving their hair and, you know, all that stuff. And it's okay. You know, yeah, baby, do the Beyonce, shake your booty. Mm-hmm. It's like, then when she come home pregnant at 12, what did you do? You this? It's like,
or how did that
some
happen?
Of it don't even say what you do. They like go down and fill out the
exactly. Exactly. Ooh, I'm gonna get me a tax refund.
I mean, smoking now because you about to get drug test.
Right.
I mean, but
you know,
that's
what?
Not even one of our topics. But it need to be that way.
That's
bring
true.
Me the petition so I can sign.
Exactly. It needs to be that way. Excuse me. I mean, a lot of times, I understand you may need help. We've all been there where you need, you know, you need a little cover, a little push. But to just sit back with your legs crossed and just say, oh, well, I'm going to have this other baby. Well, that's another $800 check or whatever. It's like...
It's not that much.
I'm giving them benefit of the doubt.
Well, you know what, the bottom of the line is, you know, first of all, it's a crab in a bucket mentality when it comes to us. Because we, like you said, one get out... Everybody gonna pull you back in. I think the second thing too, since we're talking about the system, people need to realize that the system is getting ready to change. Yeah, and it's getting ready to change tremendously. So those that have had generations upon generations upon generations that were depending on checks and things of that nature, that's getting ready to stop.
Well,
so
they
you
already
know,
don't get the checks, because I'll deal with that every day at work. And now you have to work to get the check. So they don't want the checks no more.
They're
the food stamps, because I'm not about to go to this job training. I'm not about to do this, or I'm not about to do that. Then they'll come to you when something happens where they owe. You'll be like, then say, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't know. And they'll make it seem like you're the insensitive one. But for me personally, I have struggled. I have been a single parent before. I raised two small kids before. I have been in situations where things were about to get cut off and this and that. I have worked three jobs. I have stood in a heat blind at 5 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the winter to make sure my gas stay on. But they won't do any of that. Like, stuff will get cut off, and then they'll come in and argue with you. Literally argue at you, because you have to send them a notice, like, if this doesn't happen, you're losing your housing, or you're in debt. And I have to deal with it every day, and I don't understand. Like, I really can't understand the mentality. Like, where did this come from, and how could you be so young and give up on your life already?
Well, if you think about it, like I said, it's a generational curse. I believe it's a generational curse, you know, because we have a lot. We come from a heritage of strong Black women. If you go back and you look at, you know, some of the women that have paved the way for us, and then somewhere it just dropped off. And it's like, okay.
Because nobody wants to grow up. Have you seen the grandmothers today?
The grandmothers are younger, like, than us.
They're kicking it with you. Like, where you going tonight? Like,
yeah, they kicking nowhere. It with you. You're right.
You can't get them. It's not the grandparents that you go, like, grandkids go over. They babysitting the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see my, I don't got time to babysit. I'm going out. It's crazy.
And like I said, again, I think it's the mentality. And again, like you just said, no guidance, you know, and it's sad because you see so many people that are falling into that trap instead of the ones that, like us in this room, that work and have worked hard to get to where we are. It's difficult, you know, it's difficult to see that and to know that that's the type of mentality that most people have, you know. You know, I see it a lot too. Even, you know, people coming into the office, and I'm just like, you know, hey, you don't even know the right terms to use when you come in. And like you said, I've gotten it. Hey, you sound like you're white. You know, wow, I didn't know you were Black. So what about me sounded white? You know, because I am a Black woman all day long.
They tell me I'm arrogant.
Exactly. But again, like
you
said,
she sounds white at all. No.
Thank you. But when I answer the phone at work, or I'm out and about and I'm doing my business, I have to sound a certain way.
It's called being professional.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not being white. It's called being professional. Thank you. Hello. Welcome. That type of thing is professional.
But again, like I said, but you get that when you answer the phone professionally at work. And then when someone comes in to see you, they're like, oh, they're surprised. Like, wow, I didn't. So how did you expect me to answer the phone? Hey, what's up?
Right.
No.
Or with your attitude. Because, you know, that's what they
attitude.
Put us.
Exactly.
The Black woman at work is always has an attitude.
Or always mad. No. It's not like that. So.
Interesting. Well, since we had that little discussion, how about we pop to something kind of on the opposite end? And talk about when you have a two-income household. Who makes the decisions, and should the man have the final say because he's the man of the house?
April.
We know you're ready for that one. April was ready for that one. If y'all heard the noise, that was her slapping on her leg.
Well, the Bible does say that the man is the head of the household. But also, the woman is his helpmate. Not behind him, but on the side of him. So therefore, what was the question again?
When you have a two-income household, who makes the decision? And should the man have the final say because he is the man of the house?
I think it depends on what the situation is.
Okay.
I don't think because you have two, I think it should be equal, really. You both bringing something to the table, you know. Now, if it was one income and the man was doing it, then okay. But if the wife and the husband is both working, it should be talked about it, compromised. The decision should be comfortable when you walk from the table. It shouldn't be the wife feeling like, oh, well, I always got to give in. Or vice versa. The husband should feel like he have to always give in. And, you know, my thing when it comes to the income, split everything down the middle and you won't feel like that. But I think it basically depends on the situation.
Because what about joint bank accounts?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you this.
Ooh, we getting interested.
I have. You know what? We have three accounts. And I think it probably had to depend on the individual. Because we have three accounts. And what I share with people when it comes down to finance, what works for me or works for us, is that we have three accounts. My name is on his account. His name is on my account. We both got bank cards to each other account, all three of them. But there's an understanding. My check go into PNC. Your check go into Huntington. Then there's a third account, which I nicknamed the bill account. So when it's time to pay bills, whatever my half of the bill is and whatever his half, it goes into that bill account and it get paid out of there. Whatever, I just had this conversation earlier today. Whatever he do with his money, when the household is taken care of, that's his business. Whatever I do with mine, once the household is taken care of, that's my business. Now, if you need something out of my account, you got a card, but don't just go in my account. There's an understanding. Call me. You let me know. Text me. Hey, I need some gas money. I'm going, oh, okay. Same thing, but don't go on my account and I don't know nothing about it. Then we got a problem. So I think it can work. It all depends on the two people and how they choose to do it. But I'm telling you, that third account works.
That bill account.
It works because you ain't got to worry about no overdraft. What? You ain't put the gas bill in there and they don't went in the account and took out. You know, you don't have that. So when we start doing that, it eliminated a lot of misunderstanding, stress, and overdrafts. Eliminated that.
I'm about to say, and when you talk about overdrafts, what I think about is because, you know, you got, if everything coming out of your PNC, if it overdraft,
I'm calling PNC.
But I'm saying, but when your check go in, your check just get ate up.
And it's ate up. So then there's a problem. It's going to be some confusion, a misunderstanding. It's going to be a lot of things going on. Because now, you know, I work just as hard as he does. So, therefore, you got to be understanding at the end of the day.
But what about when you, like, with is someone, like, just the man's working or just the woman's working, and then the opposite person is just taking care of the finances, just...
Who should I
like? They can. They're only one person is working.
You know what?
Who should control the finances? The one person that's working,
the dependable person. Right. The one that know how to manage the checkbook. The one that's not gonna go out and spend all the money, because in that case, I can work or he can work, but it's irresponsible and don't know how to take care of business. You might be working, but you ain't paying nothing. Where I could be at home and not working, but I know how to manage. I know what need to be paid, when need to be paid. I know you get paid this Friday, this got to be paid, that got to be paid, yada, yada, yada. You got this much for lunch. You know, don't go spend $60 for lunch and you know the light bill due. And we short, you know what I'm saying? So it depends on who can manage the money the best. Because everybody, you know.
Well, what if you have a situation where both manage money very well?
Y'all ain't gonna spend nothing. That's what's gonna happen. What your saving account looking like? Because it's fat. Because right. No one is gonna spend anything.
Or it's gonna be a power struggle.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that, you know, not in saying that, that's part of what I feel some days. You know, my husband is he's a very good caregiver, taker, provider. He's very good with money, but so am I. So a lot of days, like you said, with the two income household, I feel like like you said, things need to be discussed.
Yeah.
We need to have conversations.
Yeah. You got to.
You are my king. Yes, you are. But when it comes down to large decisions or big decisions, we can have a conversation. But some men tend to think that, you know, okay, we're going to have a conversation, but bottom line, I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm the man of the house.
Not with large purchases and stuff like that. Large decision. You have to come to a point where you guys can talk about or making big decisions.
Right.
Like, for example, like when my husband was getting ready to change jobs, he was looking towards a job that's a little bit lower income. Mm-hmm. And I felt where he was coming from 100, but I got to be the other man thinking too.
Exactly.
Okay, right. At the end of the day, that income that's less than what's coming in now,
it's gonna
don't balance the bills.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I know. I feel you on that, but somebody got to be rational in that thinking.
I'm gonna say that's what's important. Like y'all talk about with the communication and with pretty much anything in a relationship, it always end up coming back to communication. Because like you said, with that situation, with you and your husband, April, it's like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but these bills still have to be paid. It's like a lot of times, you know, I mean, a lot of times none of us really want to get up and go to work and go and do this. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want the money. I don't want to necessarily have to get up and go and do all this extra stuff, but it's what's necessary. So at the end of the day, weigh the pros and cons together and come to a decision together, not being, well, it's my decision and I'm going to make it because it's me. No, it's not just you, because we're one.
I'm your helpmate.
Exactly.
I'm on the side of you and not behind you.
Right. And my thing is, if you lack what you lack, I'm going to pick up.
Right.
But don't put me in a situation where I have to pick up everything, because then now I'm mad. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, now what are we going to do now? Because now all of necessary my check or whatever is going to all the bills. And it's like, okay, it's not going to work. It's different when there's a situation that occurs, you get laid off or whatever like that. But just to make a decision on your own, nah.
Right.
We got to discuss that. So,
and even when you get laid off, now let's make it real clear.
Make it clear.
When you
make
get laid off, that's not an opportunity for you to take a vacation.
Right.
Either.
Right.
It's not an opportunity for you to take a vacation for a year or 6 months to a year. That means I'm laid off. What's my next plan?
She said a year. Man,
no, what's my next plan? What I got lined up? Okay, well, I'm off. Let me go and, you know, sign up for school or work on my resume or go to the agency. You know, they send you out 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever you need to do. A husband should never put that burden on their wife.
But, you know, nowadays, that's how it goes. You see so many women just picking up the pieces.
Right.
Like, we're going to work and they're.
That's because we allow it.
I was just about to say.
A man is only going to do what you allow
what you
him
allow
to do.
Them
but
do.
So many women are allowing it.
But I'm going to say, that's
allowing it.
They're allowing it. Because they feel like I just have to have this body, you know.
I just need,
I need the paycheck.
I need that man next to me. I want to have somebody to cuddle with. Well, he there. Well, and it goes back to what we talked about in the beginning. It's what their mindset sees, and it's just, this is what I need, so I'm going to accept everything else. I'm going to accept him not working, sitting home playing games, driving my car.
Dropping me off at work.
Yeah. You know, then I got to wait for you to come back and pick
me up.
And
you're always late.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You got to wait for him to come back and pick you up.
But listen.
Jesus. No.
Let's give him a little credit now. Now, if you that stay home, because you know, in this society, it's half flip when you got stay home dads. Now, if you,
I wouldn't want to stay at home, Dad. But
if you and your wife have that agreement to stay at home, to be a stay-at-home dad, that means when the wife come home, dinner is done, the kids' homework is done, the house is clean because you're a stay-at-home dad. That's a job.
Right.
So I'm going to need for you to do your job. If you're going to stay home, don't have a school call me say, your child's still at school and never got picked up.
But can you respect the man that's a stay-at-home dad?
You know what? I have known people who have flipped that role like that, and it works for them. And whatever the case may be, why they decided to do that, that's there. No, it worked for them. But, you know, as long as you do it, as long as you pulling your weight, when I come home, I should eat dinner, take my bath, and relax. No, mommy, I need help with my homework. What your daddy doing? He was here all day. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing, but some people do flip their role. In this day and time, it's normal. It's like, it's not really in our society, but, you know, outside, yeah.
Well, in our you society, see a lot. It's not the role flip.
It's just laziness.
Like, I've been in homes doing inspections, and the woman not there, she at work, the house still not clean, and dude just laying on the couch. Like,
that's because she allow it.
Yeah, like, why are you even here? Like, you just made the situation worse for her.
Well, I have a situation, and I like this topic because I think it's something, it brings a lot to the table, because I'm a working woman, my husband's a working man, and we have always been employed throughout our entire relationship. I think a lot of it too is a power struggle, like you said, at times, because I'm an alpha female, so I'm not the type of female that's just gonna let you do whatever you want to do, and he's an alpha male, so it's hard when an alpha female and an alpha male get together, because then you got some head button, because it's like, okay, well, yeah, I get that you're the man of the house, but I'm the woman of the house, and we work together. My paycheck, your paycheck go together, because you couldn't do what you do without me. I can't do what I do without you. So it shouldn't be any decisions made. So the situation with not working has never been an issue. It's been, okay, how do you deal with, you got two strong personalities that are married, raising children, working, go-getters, hustlers, providers. We're both that. So, you know, I see a lot of situations where the man might be the, you know, head of the, the man is the head of the household. Right. Let me correct that. Man is the head of the household. But, like I said, when you have the two incomes, you both work, and you have a man that feels like, hey, we can talk about it all day long. Perfect example. If we need to buy a new vehicle, we can talk about what type of vehicle we're going to buy. But bottom line, we're going to get the vehicle I say we're going to get. To me, I'm like, no. It just doesn't work like that. Because I'm out here 9 to 5, 8 to 5, 7 to 5, whatever time right. You want to say. He's working his job. You know, he's doing what he has to do. So when does that line get crossed where it's like, okay.
It's just like a whole bunch of compromise. Because I know I was right. In a situation and it just turns into two people doing whatever they want to do.
Right, like, right.
Well, I'm getting this car anyway. Mm-hmm. Then another person like, well, I'm getting this one.
Right.
Then there you go with two car notes because you're trying to prove each other wrong.
Prove each other wrong, like, right.
So now we're paying all of this money and car payments that we didn't have to have
right.
If we were able to have a compromise. Mm-hmm. And it's hard when you're in a power struggle because right. That's a situation. I don't know. I don't think I would say, like, I'm not like a control freak or not. Like, it's hard for me for people to tell me what to do. And if you don't have any rhyme or reason behind it that I don't understand,
yeah.
Then I'm not doing it.
Again, that's what I said. I'm an alpha female. I will question you to the end, to no end. I want to know what's going on, what's getting paid, what ain't getting paid, what are we doing, how we going to do this, what type of plan do we have? He's like, sit back and relax. Have you ever wanted for anything? Have you ever went without, we've never went without lights, gas, any of that? I can't say that because I've never had to do that. But, and I'm not bragging or boasting. But the whole thing of it is that we both have always contributed to the household. So it's not that it was just you making sure that the lights and the gas and the water and everything else was always paid. That was us. That was always us. So, you know, sometimes you get men that just decide that, you know, hey, I'm the man, and the Bible saying,
right.
You know, and we go back
woman.
To the
like, you can't pick a real strong one. It's women that go for that, though. It's women that's okay you make all the decisions, and
right.
I can just sit back, and as long as I have this, that, or the other, it's okay.
Right.
And it's some people who gotta,
like me, they gotta know. Hey, I just need to know. And my husband laughs at me because he says that, you know, because of my profession, I always have to have a plan. And I feel like, well, it's just been me my whole life. In high school, I had a plan. Plan to go to college, plan to do this, plan to do that. I have an A, B, C, D, and E, and F if I have to fall back on it. And, you know, some men don't always think that far ahead. I'm always thinking far ahead, especially since I've had children. Mm-hmm. Having children for me has been a huge mindset change, because I'm always thinking, okay, well, if we do A, B, and C, how is that going to affect C? You know, D and F, I should put it that way. So for me, it's hard to just sit back and say, okay, I'm gonna let you make all the decisions, because if all else fails,
you can't do that.
Yeah, if all else fails,
you can let them think. you always gotta have a fallback.
That's right, exactly.
And I think what it is, and I think a lot of men know that. I think they know that. They know that their wife have a backup plan.
Right, right.
Because they only think about A and B.
Mm-hmm.
The wife think about A, B, C, D, E, and F.
Exactly, exactly.
Because when they, we comes and we pull them out.
Right, right.
You know, and that's the job of the wife. That's what we supposed to do.
Right. That's true.
That's the help me part.
We supposed to have their bag. And we supposed to have that plan C, because they didn't think that far.
But I'm going to have a problem if I already told you. This one's gonna work.
You gotta let them fall on their
You know.
Like,
but
sometimes,
but when
like,
they fall
yeah,
on their face, and you're the one that's got to pick it up.
We gonna have to pick up the pieces either way.
It's just like cleaning behind your little toddler.
That's true.
You know, you said put those toys back in that toy box. Mm-hmm. Don't take them out anymore. Next thing you know, they out, and then they going upstairs or outside, and you clean up those toys.
Mm-hmm.
After you don't have the conversation, don't take them toys out.
Right.
Not saying putting husbands in the same category as toddlers.
I'm just saying,
you know, you got to have that plan C. Because when their minds are set, their minds are set.
That is true. That
and
is
they
very
don't change.
Because
they don't. They see, this is what I want, and I hear her talking, but I know if I do A and B, this gonna happen.
Right.
But there's a small chance
that C might happen. And it's gonna, that might be a problem.
And who, and then it blow up, you can just be like, well, we're gonna do this now.
Exactly. Right. Like, don't worry about it. I took care of it already.
And I think, honestly, like April said, I think they know. And I think that's why they're really comfortable and okay with A and B gonna work, but I know she got C and D, or just in case. But it's not gonna happen, but just in case. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times as wives, we do gotta kind of step back and just
okay,
let them let it
go ahead
and happen.
And that's where I'm at right now. Yeah. I'm trying to learn to submit. And I shouldn't say learn to submit, because
no,
it's
a process.
It's a process. It's a process in submitting.
Yes.
And it's not an easy
and it's
process.
Hard to submit when they don't represent themselves as someone to be submitted to.
Right.
And that's one thing I think men's, or I wouldn't say all, but a lot of them, they miss that piece. You want me to submit, but what am I submitting to?
Right. You got to show me.
You ain't doing nothing. Yeah. You laying on this couch.
Right. No
I'm
plans.
Working.
Right.
You ain't doing anything. You want to go get your GED? I mean, what? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You want me to submit to that?
GED.
I don't think so.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
Husbands have to learn. You want your wife to submit? Give them something to submit to.
But what about, and I just thought about this, like, because like you said, like they want us to submit, but maybe they're not doing anything, no GED, no this, not working, but we chose them.
Good
that
question. You know what?
This,
you didn't have none of that stuff in the first place.
Exactly. And who fault is that? That's that wife fault. I believe that strongly, because if you knew he didn't have a job when he proposed to you, we all went to marriage counseling.
That's her big
and idea. When you walked down that aisle and said, I do, to death do us part, you know, health, sickness, all that good stuff. You knew this. So what in your mind thoughts after the honeymoon, oh, he gonna go get a job.
Yeah.
Right.
I can
looking
change
at the
him.
Wedding.
But that's how they feel. It's like, right, it's like, well, once we get married and
somebody
won't
me,
do that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's
see,
that. It goes back to that self-worth, like you said.
Yeah,
it's
you gotta
like,
know.
Like,
gotta
I want to have someone, but.
Right. But I think, like you said, but though, it goes back to self-worth.
Right.
Like I said, at, when he proposed to me, I wasn't marrying a man that didn't have a job. I was not going to marry a man that should be building a household before he even thinks about it.
He should be established.
I
feel like you should even have your own home.
Yes.
If you're working and you going so your family can move in, but we do see things so backwards.
So you know how to pay bills.
We don't have to worry about it. She can trust you to make the money decisions because she seen what you already did.
Right.
Now we're going into situations where no one knows how anyone handles anything.
That's true.
And then everyone's arguing about, and they say that's the number one cause for divorce in young marriages is the finances.
So we're arguing
about why we don't have any money because neither one of us know how to handle money.
How to budget it.
Neither one of us had anything established.
I'm about to say or how to pay bills. Like how to maintain a household. You don't know how to maintain a household because you didn't have one.
Right.
But it's like, oh well, I like her, she like me, we're gonna get married. She feeling like, oh, I'm about to have me a husband, I got what you don't have. And then it's like, walk down the aisle, say I do, then it's like, okay, now what? Well, I thought you had it figured out.
Let me throw this in here. Because, you know, we all Christian like.
Yes.
So, let me throw this out here. Because this is a lot of the problem, too. He ain't got a job, and you know that. But you in a position where you're trying to get yourself together. You know, live a holy life, per se. And y'all dating. You know, if y'all keep dating, you ain't gonna better live that. You ain't gonna better walk that walk.
Right.
So you get married just because, you know what I'm saying? What do you tell somebody in that case? Like, he ain't got a job. I don't care.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That goes back to your self-worth. Like, you can't just say, like, I'm going to get married. For one, I don't believe in, I'm going to get married so I won't be sinning. So you won't be sinning sexually. Because you're going to be sinning other ways because you're going to be unhappy. You're going to be going to bed angry a lot of nights. You don't know this person. So you're going to be committing other sins besides having sex. And then you enter into a covenant with someone that technically you're supposed to stay with forever. And I don't know. I really don't believe in that. That's like a pet peeve of mine. I feel like just be, you know, people don't know how to be by themselves. And that's why the marriage rate is so high.
Are a lot of people that are not comfortable with being by themselves. And again, like I said, you know, I think it goes back, like you just said, to self-work. My husband and I have been together for, we were 17 when we got together. So we're both teenagers when we got together. So everything we've done together. We've learned how to do together. So in that sense, you know, again, it was my self-worth. We dated for we were engaged for 7 years before we got married because finances had to be right. We had to get our stuff together and know what it was we were going to do. I think a lot of it too is when you have to know who you're marrying. You have to see that person. Yeah. It wasn't just my husband that I looked at. I looked at his family. I looked at how did his father treat his mother? How did he treat his mother? Because my grandmother and my mother and them always told me the way a man treats his mother is an indication on how he gonna treat you. And he took care of his mother. He was a provider for his mom. He's a protector for his mother. He does the same thing for me. So I can't say my husband's a bad person at all because I wouldn't have married him if that's who he was. But he is strong-minded. And I'm also strong-minded. So sometimes that's where the struggle, exactly. Sometimes that's where the struggle comes in at. Because like I said, you know, everything that we have, we've done together. So when we are making like huge decisions, like we're right now, we're talking about buying a home. And it's like, okay, new construction. Not construction. Hey, let's get something that's a little cheaper. Now, I'm a banker, so and I'm also very frugal. I look at everything. I'm just like, hey, you know, new construction, we got people that's foreclosing on homes that's brand new. We can do something that, you know, so it's simple things like that sometimes you don't always are able to kind of talk through because, you know, you got one person thinking one way and one person thinking the other way. And it's like, how do you get that cohesiveness to say, okay, this is what we're going to do together. How can we do this together? But
somebody gotta give in.
And see, it's usually me giving in. Because he's usually, I'm the man of the house and I'm gonna do this.
Unless you bring the plan. See, this is the foreclosed home. And this is what this costs. Sometimes you gotta break it down.
Yeah, and show the pictures. Like, this looks good. This looks just like the new house that you wanted.
And I'm gonna probably regret that I'm saying this on radio. Because he's gonna probably hear this. But it's funny because a lot of things that I will bring to him, it might take him a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. And then he's thinking, he's going back, and then he brings it back to me. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And I'm thinking to myself, I told you that 2 months ago. Right.
Well, you know, sometimes you're just not giving that credit.
Yeah. So, you know,
giving a pass. Right?
It gets frustrating, though. I'm just like,
you can't be that angry black woman.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Like, y'all women always have attitude. Only give me a white woman.
Right.
You can't always go to the, I told you so. It's like,
exactly.
Gotta bite your lip and be like, oh, that's a good idea.
That's a real good idea. Yeah. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, but I told you that. I was the one to put that in your mind. So, you know, I think it's funny, though, you know, to hear the different perspectives on that, because it's nice to know that other people can understand, you know, that power struggle sometimes. But like you said in the Bible, you know, we are, as women, are supposed to submit to our husbands. And if you, like you said, if it's something to submit to. Right. And I can definitely say
brothers,
my husband is somebody to submit to.
Because, like, you know, a lot, that gets on my nerves.
That is true.
All right, well. This has been interesting conversation.
Good conversation.
So what we're going to do now is, just anybody have any last minute thoughts, anything they want to add, because we're going to end the show with Miss Shantae. But first, anything y'all want to add? Last comments? I know you got something to say, April.
What? Brothers, give your wife something to submit to. And they will submit.
Right.
We don't mind submit, but you have to give us something to work with.
That's true. That's a good point.
I like that. I'm gonna go back to our first topic. Self-value, self-worth. Women, let's have some self-worth about ourselves. You know, let's kind of put it out there. You know, each one teach one. Teach your children, your daughters, your nieces, that, you know, education is first, everything else is secondary. You know, twerking ain't where it's at. You know, wearing the weave and all the cute little stuff, you know, that ain't where it's at. It's getting the education, because that's the one thing that somebody can never take away from you.
Right.
So that's my ending thought.
Well, you made a great point on yours, and I'm going to take that as we segue into Shantae with self-worth. It's very important. So while we end this, we want to thank y'all for listening to the Ladies of Inner Circle. Did y'all enjoy yourselves?
Yes, this was fun.
It was exciting. So we're going to segue into Miss Shantae with her Desperately Seeking. She's going to talk to you about that. But make sure you check us out, Inner Circle, cseradio.caster.fm. We'll be airing on Thursdays at 9 p.m. right after the Band of Brothers. So let them come on with their stuff, and then we'll end it up strong like the alpha females do. All right. So once again, thanks for listening. And Miss Shantae, take us away.
Okay, so I started a blog, the Desperately Seeking Shantae, just trying to find myself. And I found it's been really helpful for other people. So today's post that I did was, Do You Know Your Worth? And I'm just going to summarize it, and I can give you the information to go check it out. But it starts off with the quote from Christina Arilo from a book called Madly in Love with Myself. And the quote states, "Self-love is the unconditional love and respect that you have for yourself that is so deep, so solid, so unwavering that you choose only situations and relationships, including the one with yourself, that reflect that same unconditional love and respect." And I just go on to talk about how we can't value ourselves with dollars and cents. We have to find our value from within, like nothing on the surface. We all have something to bring to the table, despite no matter what we do, whether we're a housewife, a CEO, whether you're educated or you're not educated, that doesn't measure your value. And it's really deep. I really like it. So go check it out. It's at Desperately Seeking Shantae on blogger.com.
Any thoughts on her little summary?
I love it. I think, you know, she hit the nail on the head with the, we're more than, you know, dollars and cents. And you know, we have so much inside of us that I don't think, you know, a lot of, even our black men, I don't think they realize how much we have to offer.
But I think that they will realize once we see, like, I'm beautiful without this. And without that.
That's right.
Respect yourself first, and then our black brothers will respect you. And that's what the same thing with that self-worth. If we don't respect ourselves, how can we expect the next person to respect us?
Right.
That's true.
And that's the part that I think that's key. Like, you know, all you ladies said, it's self-worth. And that's why it's very interesting, because I read her blog. And it's very good. She just gave you a little clip of it, but it's very good, very interesting, and very deep. But it's very interesting how you can get women together, and without knowing what she wrote about or her knowing what we're really going to talk about, we still hit that topic.
Same page.
Talking about self-worth. So I honestly think this is a great group. Clearly, we're on the same page. You know, we're going to bump some heads, you know, as we go through the show. But clearly we're on the same page, and it's all about self-worth. So if we can build up the next woman and that woman build up the next woman, I think eventually, you know, we can spread what we have and what we've been instilled with from our parents, and we can instill in our children and raise up the next generation to be, you know, to build up their self-worth and to be ready for what comes, because we know things are going haywire. But, you know, as black women, we do need to stick together. So, without further ado, we're going to end this show of Inner Circle. Once again, check us out, cseradio.caster.fm, Thursdays at 9 p.m.